Hello.
Hello.
Radio Cabela.
Radio Cabela.
You're on the Kiss Radio. Yo.
Yo, yo.
Yo, yo.
Radio Cabela. You're on a Kiss Radio show.
This is number 10.
You kind of whispered it.
I did.
This is number 10.
Hello. Welcome.
Welcome indeed.
Welcome to Redux. Radio Cabela number 10.
Numero 10.
Indeed. Welcome. Hope you're all having a lovely... Well, we're recording this on a Sunday. You may be listening to this on a weekday.
Yeah.
Every day Sunday, though, when you're in the anarchist splendor of the experimental Cabela splendorous
experiment. Splendid thing.
Indeed.
Indeedy. At number 10, so that's pretty fantastic,
indeed,
isn't it?
I should mention at this point that I am Dick Gherkin.
And I am Santeria.
And this is Radio Cabela. You can reach us at radiocabela@riseup.net. Or on our various internet footprint portals, one which is cabelacoop.org, and then go to the radio tab.
And also, if you go on to Radio for All, which is the anarchist radio project of A Infos, so it's radioforall.net, and you just do a search for Radio Cabela or Cabela, you can download a bunch of our shows, a bunch of our interviews, and all kinds of great stuff. And there's lots of other independent radio there. So while we hope to be your first love, perhaps not your only love in this polyamorous love of the radio
indeed,
that you may have.
Yeah. Yes. There's room for a lot of, when it comes to radio, there's room for a lot of loves, definitely.
Indeed.
Okay, well, on the show today, we've got Bristol Against the Arms Trade. We've got an interview with Bristol Anarchist Book Fair Collective.
And we have an interview with, there's a theme here, an anarchist from Belarus, who's going to talk to us a bit about the situation there, which is mighty messed up, I got to say.
Indeed. And then the normal global updates. But the time at the moment is the time for the teas to come in.
Indeed.
And also the time for local updates. Okay.
Wow. So there's lots of stuff that's been going on. New Year's Eve all across Bristol, around the world in many countries, many places. There was all kinds of stuff that happened in solidarity, noise demonstrations outside the prisoners to wish the prisoners basically a Happy New Year, you know, share that message around
that's
everybody.
It, yeah.
So it's pretty fantastic. Also, in the early hours on Monday, January 10th, anarchists in Bristol sabotaged several corporate institutions. Duh, duh, duh. The bailiffs and debt collectors firm Revenue on Bonneville Road had all its windows smashed on one side of the building, and another target, the O2 repeater tower, was also attacked. In the exterior of the telecommunications tower, a tire full of rags was drenched with paraffin and shoved through the biggest bunch of cables and set alight. So, lots of stuff going on that night.
Mm. Another strand of local activity is finally the behemoth, the sleeping giant that is Bristol and District Anti-Cuts Alliance, an alliance of various libertarian, union and common people, as Pope would say. They're finally getting their act together. You may remember that we interviewed Nigel on Radio Cabela number 8, I believe, and he was saying about organisation was a little bit of a problem at that early stage. Well, they've got that sorted out, and now they're calling a lot of individual meetings for various types of employment and also various areas. So you've had meetings happen now, or will be happening in the next couple of weeks in Filton, a couple of down south, and the local one for us anyway in Cabela is Easton, and the Easton meeting has been called by Bristol IWW, and the first meeting is on Thursday the 27th of January at 8 p.m. at Eastern Community Centre, and that'll be followed up by another meeting on the 10th of February at 2 p.m. So for people that can't make evening meetings. And so, yeah, hope to see you at either one of those. And check your Bristol and District Anti-Cuts Alliance or bristol.indymedia.org for all the information about the cuts and where your local meetings are. Please get involved.
Indeed, that sounds like a good one. And there's also a bit, there's a really, really good link, an article by, quote-unquote, The Cuts on Bristol New Media that talks about basically the impact of all the cuts that are going on locally. So obviously, it's awful. The budget for Bristol City Council's Children's and Young People Services Department, which is responsible for education, is to be cut by £3.7 million next year. However, councillors say the authority is not being realistic about the ability to save money. Tory councillor Alistair Watson says, "There's lots of hope in this budget. don't know what planet he's living on. Next year we'll be
in.
Yeah, indeed. Next year we'll be here with a 1.8 million overspend. So I think we know that already. He seems to think we know that already.
Right.
Yeah, and also they're doing also other horrible things that sort of just, you know, are quite bad and sort of get you in the weak spot. So a project supporting HIV victims in Bristol will be closed because the funding's going to be cut by Bristol City Council. The Bristol project has been told its annual council grant of £124,000 will be stopped by the end of March. There's other outrageous things. One notable one, on top of the arts being cut, which is quite a regular occurrence, unfortunately, is the Southwest Housing Association, Sovereign, has spent £9 million on 71 service luxury flats for the use of business and leisure travellers at the new Broad Quay development in the centre of Bristol. They claim they're doing this to raise money for social housing.
Well, then, they're lying, aren't they?
Yeah, kind of doesn't make sense to me.
Not to me either. I don't mean lying in a legal way, obviously. I mean lying in a...
You're a bunch of scumbags kind of way.
The lowest of the low kind of way.
Indeed.
Well, yeah, basically the cuts are huge. Think of anything good, it's being cut. Think of anything bad, it's being saved. So that's what you get from Tory government, Liberal government, Labour government, all of them.
Indeedy.
So, enough bad news. Well, good news, hopefully, if the resistance can get going. Talking of that resistance, something's been happening this weekend called the Network X gathering up in, I think it's Manchester. That's been happening this week. It's an attempt to create a federation of groups working together towards a common goal of combating the cuts. I think it's a little bit as well as a response to the bravery and ingenuity of the students, university students and the EMA students that protested in December and caught a lot of the activist community on the hop, I think. We were all there still saying, oh, demonstrations will never work, demonstrations will never work. And then they go out and show that demonstrations can work if you... put your back into it, as they say.
Yep.
And I think this is an attempt to sort of make links with those new groups from the old groups and also try and create a wider umbrella of a common cause that will really take on this crooked, corrupt state and give them a damn good hiding that they deserve.
Yeah, definitely. They seem to know what's going down. It was fantastic to see in the streets, you know, the sort of people that you've never seen at demos before.
Definitely.
You know, people that are quite young that are sort of, you know, still just, you know, getting politicised, but sort of get it on a very, you know, very basic level that,
totally,
you know,
yeah,
we're all getting screwed over at the minute, so we've got to stand together, stay strong.
Mm.
Definitely.
And there's nothing as politicising as seeing the police take their role as guardians of the employing class and the richest 10%. So,
yeah.
Arriving at a demonstration near you very soon, hopefully.
Indeed.
There's a couple of other things happening in Bristol. I think there's a big council meeting on, I'll check with my advisor, on the 26th of January, is that right?
27th of January at 6 o'clock.
27th of January at 6 o'clock.
Lib Dem Cabinet budget setting meeting.
Lib Dem Cabinet budget setting meeting. I don't know why I'm repeating him. He's got a microphone, I just realised.
I don't know why I'm repeating.
I
don't know why I'm repeating.
Oh, no, it isn't. As live, we have it now. No, okay, back on to the point.
Indeed, but big council meeting.
Big council meeting. They're gonna try and slip in a budget by the back door.
Really?
Yeah, which is a bit unsettling. Talking about underhand, nefarious,
horrible,
disgusting ship blanket activities. We have to, of course, mention the four quote unquote people that have been uncovered as infiltrating the network and hurting a lot of people in the process, and so our hearts go out to them and our support goes out to anyone that has been affected by these shitty blankets.
Indeed. And we would like to send out a big fuck you to the shitty blankets.
I think, yeah, concerted fuck you to those shitty blankets. I think it was best summed up by the I think it was Berlin's Anarchist Black Cross group who stated yesterday, "We hope that Mark has to look behind him and be vigilant his whole life. That is the minimum price he has to pay. The price he has to pay for slutting himself and the rest of the movement for £50,000 a year. All of the people involved obviously have to stay silent, but people that aren't involved, such as ourselves, can say fuck you to
Indeed.
All of them. A big fat fuck you,
yes.
You sluts."
Indeed. And, well, also, just on that sort of note, if you're thinking about activist security stuff, which I'm sure a lot of us are at the minute, it's always worth checking out Bristol ABC's blog. So Bristol abc.wordpress.com. There's lots of good information on there about activist security. Also, if you go to the properly well-named activist security website at activistsecurity.org, there's lots of fantastic information. Well, fantastic. Lots of good, very useful, concrete information about what you can do to help keep safe and things. So things about social networking, all kinds of things. But social networking comes to mind because obviously it's quite a timely thing, and lots of people are on Facebook or Crackbook or however you call it and things. So it's always worth being careful. And just, you know, when you're speaking into anything, just keep in mind that you are making a lot of information public.
That's it. But also don't. The whole point about this is to paralyze people, to make people think that, oh, you know, like, what if such and such is a policeman and everyone will start turning on yourself? If you look around you, anyone who's involved in the libertarian communities, 99.9% of the people around you will be loving, caring, brilliant people. If there's a few shit blankets in there, then basically then that's their problem, not ours, in effect. If you just... Affinity group's not just about a name, it's not just about a lifestyle, it's about finding out who the people you're working with, who their mum and dad is, meeting their old school friends, things like that. That's the way to know and trust people, is to get to know them. And it's a very pleasurable opportunity to do exactly that anyway.
Indeed. And also, the glass half full way of looking at this is that we're getting some good stuff done. And we got to keep on working, staying strong, pulling That's together, it. Doing it ourselves to sort of, you know, change, make the changes we need to see.
That's it. They fear us more than we fear them.
Indeedy.
Okay, we're going into a song.
We are, well, a bit of a song. It's a little piece, a bit of a dedication to Marilyn Buck, who was a political prisoner who recently passed away. There's a bit of music in there from Gil Scott-Heron, who's just put out a new record. So a bit of a sample of some of his stuff in there. But yeah, so we're going to go to that now.
Marilyn Buck is a former anti-imperialist political prisoner in the United States. She was imprisoned for 25 years for her anti-imperialist actions carried out in support of national liberation, women's liberation, social and economic justice. While in prison, she developed uterine cancer. Seriously ill, she was released on July 15, 2010. She died a couple of weeks later on August 3rd. As Judy Greenspan, a longtime prisoner rights activist in the United States, explains, Marilyn died today not in the hospital, but at Sophia Elijah's house, her close friend and attorney, with her friends around her. The Federal Bureau of Prisons and the U.S. criminal injustice system killed Marilyn by denying her adequate medical care, careful diagnosis, and a timely treatment for her cancer. They allowed the uterine cancer to spread until it was inoperable. And they made her serve every single day of her sentence that they could for her heinous crimes of actively supporting the black liberation struggle, aiding in the escape of Comrade Assata Shakur, participating in military political actions against the U.S. wars at home and abroad, and remaining defiant and opposed to the U.S. imperialist, racist system every day that she was inside the belly of the beast. Marilyn Buck, presente. Marilyn Buck is also the author of numerous poems, and Assata Shakur's autobiography is a very good read. Here's a recording of Marilyn Buck reading her poem, Wild Poppies.
This call is from a federal prison.
I remember red poppies wild behind the schoolhouse. I didn't want to be there, but I loved to watch the poppies. I used to sit in the window of my room sketching charcoal trees. What happened to those magnolias, to that girl? I went off to college, escaped my father's thunderstorms, Berkeley, rebellion, exhilaration. The Vietnam War, Black Power, Che took me to Chicago. Midnight lights under Wacker Drive, Uptown, Southside. Slapped by self-determination for taking Freedom Wall photos without asking. On to California, driving at 3 o'clock in the morning in the mountains. I got it. What self-determination means. A daunting task for a young white woman. I was humbled. Practice is concrete, harder than crystal dream concepts. San Francisco on the front steps at Fulton Street, smoking reefer, drinking bitter dog with Black Panthers and white hippie radicals, talking about when the revolution comes. The revolution did not come. Fred Bennett was missing. We learned he'd been found, ashes, bones, a wedding ring. But later there was Assata's freedom smile. Then I was captured, locked into a cell of sewer water, spirit deflated. I survived, carried on, glad to be like a weed, a wild red poppy, rooted in life.
That was Marilyn Buck reading her poem Wild Poppies. Hey, and welcome back to Radio Cabele. So if you want to check out Radio Cabele, you can check us out online via the Cabele website. You can check out a big long list of all our shows, and also you can email us on radiocabele@riseup.net. And so now we're back with an anarchist from Belarus. Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Would you like to introduce yourself, please?
I'm Stas from Minsk.
Fantastic. Hey, nice to meet you. And so there's been a lot. There's been a little bit of stuff in the media over here just about following the recent elections at the end of December of last year. There was about 700 people that were arrested. So I was wondering if you could tell us a bit more about what happened. Why did so many people get arrested? What happened with the elections?
Well, people in Belarus say that this was once again re-elections of this man whom we call the last dictator of Europe, and people basically went on the streets to protest against those falsifications and against the situation in Belarus. They want changes, they want country developing rather than being suppressed and these kind of things.
So they decided they... And so what brought about the arrest of so many people?
This was probably one of the most brutal sort of behaviors since 1994, since the Soviet Union crash, from police and forces and stuff. So it's... the situation in the country is not healthy. It's getting a sort of... gap between the society and the government is increasing, and there is more and more people understanding now that the government is not caring about them at all, and they're coming over to sort of say that, but in response they are receiving kicks and all these things.
Yeah, indeed. So lots of not a good experience then necessarily. But you mentioned also that you we were chatting earlier, and you mentioned that you've been part of one of these protest camps, -10 degree weather, and things that was quite brutally broken up. Could you tell us a bit about your experiences there?
Almost every year, when this man started re-electing himself, he got into power as the one who was fighting a bureaucracy but became the biggest bureaucrat ever since. So every election year there was a protest movement against him, and the last time we've been a bit more successful, and we organized a protest camp on the streets and stayed there for about 5 nights. And we had a lot of support from other people bringing our hot drinks and all these things. So it was a good time in society to realize that there is spirit there, and people want changes, people want sort of their life being more colorful than it is now, and they're willing to do something about it, but what they're receiving in response from the government is aggression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you said, you also got a lot of solidarity then, people bringing, you mentioned people bringing you food, like hot food and things to sort of support you as well. So it's
And they were risking with their own sort of freedom, a lot of them being arrested during the time they were simply bringing food and hot drinks to us, and they've been sat in prison for 10 or 15 days because of this, been charged for like swearing in public or this kind of charges.
Yeah, that's awful, really. It also sounds like there's been a bit of an upsurge, an increase in the level of sort of anarchist resistance, anarchist activity in sort of Belarus and Russia and things like this. So can you tell us a bit about what's been going on with that?
Anarchists probably were becoming a bit more organized in recent years, and they were actively presented on many ecological marches, which going on every year in March in Belarus, and this probably one of the reasons why there is repression against them in Belarus. But one of the points when it started was the support action nearby to the Russian embassy with the Khimki Forest support activists. So after that, a few people being arrested, well, about 50 people being arrested and rearrested without giving them the reasons why, and few anarchists which are now charging and facing the long-term imprisonment for about up to 6 years, I think, these lawyers, and one of them being kidnapped from Russia and extradited unlawfully to face those charges.
Wow. Because I think we've talked about it a little bit before, some of these events, when we've been doing the global updates, sort of the highway that they want to build between Moscow and St. Petersburg through the, I can't say it properly, Khimki Forest as well. So this is just, it's something we've been paying attention to because it is, word is sort of getting out quite slowly sort of around the rest of the world as well to the resistance, I think.
Yes, it's very nice to keep links between each other, and there's been great support with our prisoners around the world. There were lots of actions of support and around, and thank you for that.
That's fantastic to hear. So we just have to wrap up, but I was wondering if there's anything else you'd like to add, or sort of just anything about what things are looking like now for the people who are still in prison.
It is a bit unclear, and it's hard to say what's going to happen. There's a lot of talks going on, and the EU and now we see in the sort of official statements and sanctions against Belarusian sort of authorities, but all those things still don't work. So the thing we probably need to do is be to just show solidarity to each other, and this is probably the only thing which will help kind of evolve from this situation and help our prisoners and
help make it better. Great. Okay, well, thanks a lot. Thanks for taking the time to speak to us today. It's much appreciated, and we'll keep our ear to the ground, try and keep offering solidarity, and just keep listening out for what's happening and the resistance from over there as well. It's inspiring. Thank you.
Come all you poor workers, good news to you I'll tell, how the good old Union has come in here to dwell. Which side are you on? Which side are you on? We're starting our good battle, we know we're sure to win, because we've got the gun, thugs are looking very thin. Which side are you on? Which side are you on? If you go to Harlan County, there is no neutral there. You'll either be a Union man or a thug for J.H. Blair. Which side are you on? Which side are you on? They say they have to guard us to educate their child. Their children live in luxury, our children almost wild. Which side are you on? Which side are you on? Gentlemen, can you stand it? Oh, tell me how you can. Will you be a gun thug or will you be a man? Which side are you on? Which side are you on? My daddy was a miner, he's now in the iron sun. He'll be with you fellow workers till every battle's won. Which side are you on? Which side are you on? Now all of you know which side you're on, and they'll never keep us down.
That was Florence Reese with her song, Which Side Are You On?
Okay, we're back. Welcome to Radio Kabylie, and welcome to our next two guests, which is Cara and Jim from the Bristol Anarchist Book Fair Collective.
Hello, Dick.
Good afternoon, Dick.
Hello, welcome. So, book fair. Who, where, what, why, how, when, 63297. The fourth year, is that right?
It is indeed the fourth year. Have a look on the website, bristolanarchistbookfair.org, for all the information, if you don't quite catch all of this interview. But yeah, book fair. What is a book fair? basically, it's the dissemination of the written word in terms of propaganda, ideas and theories. It's been going on for centuries. Oh, not the book fair, not quite yet, but the ideas have. And, yeah, the book fair is like a modern-day example of people coming together with all their ideas written down and then spreading them around, selling them or giving them away for free to anyone who wants to come along and pick up the information. We've been banging away in Bristol now. This will be the fourth year, started in 2008. We obviously took the idea from London, where they've been at it since 83. There were earlier book fairs in Bristol. The last one, I think, was in 92. So there was about a 15-year gap before we got in on the act.
Right.
And, yeah, it's got bigger every year. More stalls, more meetings, vegan care, kids space, radical history zone now, indie media room again. Lots to do.
So that's the mixture, basically. There's a big area that's got all of the stalls of local campaigns and various sort of free literature and stuff that you can buy. And then also, alongside that, there's meetings on various subjects. I believe that this year there's a theme to the book fair, is that right?
Well, this year, because it's quite topical at the moment, we're going to be looking at the resistance to the cuts. Obviously, it's something you've been talking about quite a lot in terms of your chat on Radio Cabelli, so we're going to be looking at that. But probably more important than that is looking at alternatives to the cuts as well.
Right.
So there's a lot of questions. Yeah, there's a lot of talk probably going back to Thatcher years, isn't it, about there is no alternative at the moment. And we're very much about confronting that idea and suggesting a few alternatives.
Good stuff. And it's... I mean, when we say anarchist, obviously there's quite a wide group of people that that turn up to these events. Just as there's a wide range of anarchists in Bristol, I suppose. You said that Radical History are involved. Are there any other local groups that are sort of signed up already?
Well, I mean, we expect, once again, most local groups will have stalls. And yeah, it's true, there is quite a wide sort of current of different anarchist groups around, but I mean that's healthy. And one of the points of the book fair is that you get all these currents in the one place. Like, they talk to each other, they all talk to everyone else who comes in. People get to know each other. They step behind, you know, what's often just an online face. It's a great way to meet up, get the ideas, plot and plan, and have a bit of a laugh at the end of the day.
Good stuff. I mean, it is. I mean, the one question I suppose that should be asked is, you've moved the book fair from. I think the first one was in St. Werburgh's, and then into the Boneyard in the centre, and now up to Hamilton House. And it seems to be that you've designed that as trying to sort of reach out to people that wouldn't self-describe as anarchists, which obviously is the big thing. There's no point being a sort of talking shop or an old boys and girls network. Do you think that the book fair is achieving that? Do you think that new faces are coming through the door and are being turned onto anarchists?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's certainly that's not by chance that we've done that. We've had meetings. Obviously, the first book fair was at St. Werburgh's, like you mentioned, but the other two we've really made an effort to get out of the more marginal areas into the centre of the city, so it's accessible as possible. So we've got good transport collections. It's accessible in terms of wheelchair access as well. But yeah, the idea about that is that people can come along if they're just curious. So hopefully there'll be a good opportunity for old timers to get along, catch up, exchange stories, think ahead. But I think probably more important that is to get new people through the doors, see what Joe Public thinks about it. Maybe the woman on the Hannah Momnibus thinks about it. And yeah, if that goes well, maybe they can maybe it can undermine some of them. Maybe if you've got preconceptions about anarchist stereotypes, maybe it'll undermine those, maybe it'll even confirm them. I don't know, but chance to find out anyway, isn't it? Yeah
definitely. I mean, because obviously the one big thing to stress is one of the big anarchist misconceptions is that anarchism is about chaos and not organization. This is a big event, isn't it? I mean, that there's like between 700 and 1,000 came to the last one. There was like, I don't know how many different stalls, how many different meetings. And the thing to stress is all of this was organised voluntarily, people giving up their time for free. I know there might have been some costs involved for like bringing people and travel costs, but all of the publicity, all of the advertising, all of the food on the day, all of the organisation of the stalls, it's all voluntary, is that right?
It is. I mean, it's really anarchy in action. It's like people giving of their own free time willingly in a cooperative way to put on a really large event that sort of, you know, it's known about publicly across the southwest and indeed much further. You'd be surprised where people are publicising it these days. Yeah, and it's called put on. No one gets paid to do anything at all. which is great.
Good stuff.
You know, big thanks to all those who do help us out on the day, because if it was just the four or five of us, we'd really struggle.
So any tasters for this year's event? I know you've done an early bird booking offer. Is it?
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, certainly we've got an indie media zone again, like we did last year. And indie media are sort of well ahead of the game in terms of planning what they want to do. So they're going to have another full series of radical films and activist film screenings. But they've also got... there's going to be discussion about blogging. There's going to be a discussion about the Hacktivista network, which sounds interesting, and also something else about the safe use of the internet, which would be quite topical, particularly as it's something else
right.
mentioned in that
yeah.
in this program at the moment. So that should be good. There's also a performance poetry workshop lined up as part of the Indymedia show. So that sounds good.
Good
also,
stuff.
Also, the Radical History group will be having a Radical History Zone again. So that's very much in the air. At the moment, but there's been quite a few invites have already gone out, and some of the people that includes are David Harvey, sort of renowned international cultural theorist, has been invited along. We've got Wally Dean and Penny Rimbold of Crass have been invited along as well, which would be good if they come along to talk about the history of the Free Festival movement. A few more local people we've got. Possibly the Street Farmers, which are an old radical direct action architecture group from the 70s, would be good.
Good stuff. So, I mean, and that's one of the key things to say. I mean, those groups that you've mentioned, they're very sort of disparate in their strategies, but all got the same aims. And, so the event's happening...
May the 7th.
May the 7th.
Central Bristol, right on Stokes Croft. And all local groups and national groups, book early. Get your booking form and your payment in by the 1st of Feb and you'll only be paying last year's rates. Deadline for workshops is the 6th of April. We've already got a few interesting ones in and we hope to get a few more. Stuff about insurrectionary anarchy, cops, infiltrators, defence trials,
the
and
lot.
Of course resistance.
Good stuff. Yep, try and prove another. We're talking about anarchist preconceptions. One that is proved wrong is organisation. One that's not proved wrong is lateness and tardiness, as our North American
Don't worry.
Cousins would
We'll call be it. There at 9 o'clock in the morning.
That's
we'll
it,
have so it all ready at half 10, ready to roll.
Get them in early.
Absolutely.
Get them in early. Okay, thanks a lot, Jim
cheers,
and Carrot.
Okay, cheers.
See you soon.
See you on the day.
Sentiment poussière.
And that was Le Temps qui Passe by La Fraction.
And I think it's time for, and please, Greek correspondent, do join in with this. It's time for our global update.
Ah, fantastic.
Fantastic.
So, we're going to start with the Greek, with our Greek correspondent and the Greek updates.
Howdy. Serious shit. Greece always is, always will be. Strange country. Massive history. Anyway, three big trials kicking off in Greece at the moment. On Friday, the trial of the Thessaloniki Four started. Thessaloniki Four are
four people actually from around Europe. Only one of them is Greek. One of them is Londoner Simon Chapman. Their case goes back to June 2003 with the anti-EU summit in Thessaloniki, and they were amongst a bunch of people arrested. They all currently face between 5 and 8.5 years in prison, and this is an appeal against their sentencing. Very important trials, particularly for Simon Chapman. Interestingly, Simon, despite evidence in his favour, which includes videos and photographs of police officers planting a bag full of Molotov cocktails and hammers next to him.
I don't believe it. I am shocked and outraged.
The pictures. I've spoken to him.
I'm going to write a letter.
Don't just write a letter. But despite this evidence, he was found guilty, and obviously he's appealing against that. So keep your eyes on that case. It's pretty important. They need your solidarity. Harass the Greek authorities at any and every opportunity. And there'll be a bit of a fundraiser in Bristol on February the 5th, down at the Plough, with Clayton Blizzard and a few other bands being put on by Kybele Sound and Bristol ABC. Good opportunity to raise some dosh there. Two other big trials in Greece. What the other one started on Friday too. This is the trial of 23 prisoners who took part in protests back in April 2007, which broke out after another prisoner, an anarchist called Giannis Dimitrakis, was beaten up by screws inside the prison. People protested on his behalf, and now these 23 prisoners face up to another 10 years inside for their role in the protest. So solidarity for them. There's lots of protests going on in Greece about that. Then on Monday, we find that three people accused of being in the conspiracy of Cells of Fire are up in court. And they are a fairly militant urban guerrilla style group who've been going for 2 or 3 years. They've put a lot of actions up against the state in the last few years, and they face a pretty serious, lengthy prison sentence if found guilty. There's a picket of their court on Monday in Greece, and obviously they're looking for solidarity in the coming months. There are many trials going on in Greece. There have been a lot of comrades arrested, but despite that, the resistance, the insurrection even in Greece, continues, and I suspect that they'll be looking at Tunisia and thinking, well, hey, way to go. There's going to be more of us doing exactly the same thing very soon. So come on, Bristol, join in.
Indeedy. Wow. Goodness. Well, a little bit without such a widespread insurrection, but in the United States, there's been lots of stuff going on. There's Bradley Manning. We're going to be speaking with Bristol Against the War in a bit, and Bradley Manning, who is thought to be he's the alleged whistleblower who's linked to all the WikiLeaks controversy and leaks. He's basically being held right now in the United States. He's being held for 23 hours a day in confinement, and his confinement violates a military rule against pretrial punishment. And friends and family of his say that he's suffering mentally and physically, shockingly, for being held in a room by himself for 23 hours a day.
So much for democracy, eh?
Yeah,
what were we fighting for?
Let's think about that one.
Answers on a postcard to the Greek embassy.
Exactly. WikiLeaks, meanwhile, has announced it's going to donate, or it has donated £15,000 to Manning's defence fund. However, the figure is less than half of the £50,000 initially pledged to Manning last year. In a statement, the Bradley Manning Support Network, which has previously criticised WikiLeaks for not following through on its pledges, said this donation from WikiLeaks is vital in our efforts to ensure Bradley receives a fair and open trial. So
I think that's going to take a little bit more than 15,000 for Bradley Manning to receive a fair and open trial. But well, good luck to him anyway, isn't it?
Indeed. And also, still sticking with the United States, U.S. President Joseph Biden has reaffirmed a U.S. pledge
Vice
to withdraw.
President.
Oh, sorry. Thank you.
I just heard that in my ear.
Indeed. Vice President. always professional on Radio Cavalli. Vice President Joseph Biden has reaffirmed a U.S. pledge to withdraw U.S. troops from Iraq by the end of the year. But despite Biden's pledge, new details have emerged of a U.S. plan to maintain a massive presence in Iraq for the years to come. The Washington Post... No Cabela Radio. But still, they're out there. They report that Obama's administration plans to maintain a force of up to 8,000 private military contractors. Now, as those of you who have heard about Blackwater know, they have a really good and proven solid shitty-ass track record over there.
Arts and minds, yeah.
Yeah, indeed. Shock and all. Yeah. And the United States would also, they want to retain control over several major bases and large portions of Baghdad's green zone. The United States also wants to retain control of a rocket detection system, a large compound near Baghdad's airport, and also build a new consulate in Basra near to the oil-rich Iraqi south. Mm. So, more of the same?
Saudi Arabia too, by the sounds of it. Wow,
indeed.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Okay, well, talking of corrupt Middle Eastern regimes, we have one less. To celebrate. Congratulations and our heartfelt, well, I don't know what.
Envy, high fives.
I suppose, yeah. Yeah. To the Tunisian protesters that started to get things together not 2 days ago, as the papers would have you believe, but about 6 weeks ago on the, it was late December when the unemployed university graduate Mohamed Bouazizi set himself on fire. In the town of Sidi Bouzid to protest the confiscation by the police of his fruit and veg cart, which was the only job that he could get, well, self-employed basically, after leaving university. He just reached the end of his tether. But the thing that he didn't realise, and that I hope sort of explains his actions, is that a lot of people agreed with him, and people started getting together on the internet, even though the Tunisian government tried to ban them. They tried to organize through social networks and called big demonstrations that started to get a lot of momentum, and it was that momentum that forced the Tunisian government into ever more repressive tactics, similar to the arguments that we've seen since the student demonstrations in December, where they first of all tried to... censor what was happening and trying not to get people talking to each other, and then they started torturing people and raiding houses, and then finally they sanctioned the use of live ammunition in the police force, who have now gone completely rogue and are following their own agendas, as police forces tend to do. But the good news is the people just wouldn't back down. It's as simple as that. You know, if you ask the question how do revolutions happen, it's people don't back down. And yeah. So what happened is, as soon as the state realized that it couldn't make the people back down, it started to back down itself. It started to throw corpses in the road. The foreign minister and things like that tried to sacrifice people of its own regime to set the protesters off the scent. But it didn't work. And so then they said, oh, yeah, we'll have elections in 2 years. Then they said, oh, we'll have elections in 6 months. And then it was, oh, taxi for two, please. I'm leaving the country. And President Ben Ali... fled to Saudi Arabia.
Whoa.
Okay, well, give it a couple of weeks, he'll be able to flee to Iraq and be protected by Blackwater.
Yeah.
So yeah, congratulations to the Tunisian freedom fighters. You got close. Now it's the army's decision whether they want to introduce a new regime of repression or take a gamble and side with the people. So good luck with the people there.
Indeedy, definitely. Great. So now I think we're going to go to a song.
Cool.
Great.
Let's do it.
Wicked. We'll be right back. And that was from Contravene, who are a fantastic, amazing punk band who are no more, unfortunately. Great. So, hello, and welcome back to Radio Cabele. We're here with Mr. John Lennon, back from the dead. Hey.
Yeah, hi.
So, I've heard you're part of Bristol Against the Arms Trade.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, it's a new group in Bristol and things, and I was wondering if you'd tell us a little bit about how the group came together and what kind of stuff you guys are working on.
The core of the group is people involved with a sort of Smash Raytheon campaign that happened. It would have been 2 years ago now, and a rooftop protest happened up at Bristol Business Park. And there was another action took place in Brighton involving Bristol people. And when that trial was over, a number of people got together and formed a formal group campaigning against the arms trade in Bristol. That's essentially it, yeah.
Oh, wicked. That's fantastic. So you have some experience together and you've gone on to sort of start to target some stuff. Target the arms trade, really, in Bristol.
Yeah, that's correct.
And so I was looking at your website, and on the website you have a map that sort of maps. I find it quite a useful tool to sort of map and visualise different businesses and companies that are involved in the arms trade around Bristol. So I was wondering if you could tell us a bit more about the map and sort of how you want it to be used and what basically is on there and things.
We found that we initially had a stall and we wanted to find out ourselves and somehow put the data and information we were trying to find out about arms companies in Bristol onto an Ordnance Survey map. And there was a lot of interest in that when we took it to the last book fair, actually, and tried it out. Because people look at it and they are surprised at what's on there, and they can relate to it as it's their community where they are, and they can see it on a map. I mean, the same function happens with the computer map in a way. Obviously, you can add niceties to it. And it's really data overlaid onto a Google map that's very widely used, but very very useful. Again, it's such a visual tool, really, and it has surprised ourselves. The research has brought up, we found out there's a lot more arms companies around, and than we knew about, and we found out about them through doing the maps, and to actually see them in one place. There's no other format for it in Bristol, really.
No, there isn't. Yeah. And because I remember I once heard a quote sort of saying that we spend billions of pounds a year on sort of defence and the military and things, but yet people quite often at night are afraid to walk within a 5-mile radius of their house. So in terms of promoting global security and things, the arms trade and the military industrial complex doesn't seem the best way to go about it. Do you know, and it's often quite interesting as well, I think, with the map, because, you know, often these companies are quite invisible, and so I find the map quite helpful to sort of say, this is where they are, this is what they do, and things. So it's quite good to really sort of bring home the sort of hidden arms trade that exists in Bristol.
Yes, I mean, the as you quite rightly said, there's not a dilemma, but these things where people are insecure, yet there's vast armament, vast money is being spent on things which are supposedly making us more secure. Well, that's an argument for having vast military expenditure, and it is a big project. And we want to work at, you know, international, local, and national levels in terms of arguing against even having one good thing is having zero military expenditure, and that's what we're going to work on, really, which would be quite challenging for the authorities. And hopefully raise some interesting debate about why we have all these, the industrial military complex, really, and who's it serving. It's probably not the people. It's, you know, is the what you know, we might call the ruling elite of, mm-hmm. and the capitalist companies.
Yeah, definitely. And I've noticed that sort of you work very much against the arms trade, but you take a view onto other issues, sort of gender issues, the way military affects women and children, and also migrants and sort of people who are forced to seek asylum in other countries and things. So I was wondering, can you tell me a bit about how you sort of...
I mean, that is what I've been encouraging within the group, and the group is quite a diverse mm-hmm. bunch of people, really, from different backgrounds, class backgrounds and gender, and have been involved with the peace movement or as doing direct action, and so we we have wanted to work, not there is a, one would like a focus on arms companies themselves, but also to say, well, there's more to anti-militarism as a term to use, really, which is quite important strand of political thinking within the anarchist movement, because this is where how the state, as well as building up an empire, controls its people, really, as its military might, but not necessarily a capitalist thing. It's the communist USSR were very much a militarist state. Mm-hmm. You could say probably North Korea is, and probably, and, you know, some of the Burmese generals of a militaristic state.
Indeed, yeah, definitely. And I was wondering, because some of the, you know, we've discussed a bit earlier just about some of the stuff to do with Bradley Manning and stuff, because you and WikiLeaks and all the controversies that have come about because of that. Have you guys been working in your sort of day to day work? Have you been working on Bradley Manning's case a bit?
We have had a letter writing evening with him in mind particularly, and we went into town. It was just before Christmas, and did a gathering in a way with again getting people to sign a Christmas card to send to Bradley. I mean, he's sadly really very neglected amongst the activist movement, really, and he's going to pay a very high price. He'll be very likely they'll he's facing 52 years in prison, really, for treason, and the Americans don't mess around when it comes to sentencing. The background to why they're got him in isolation and are causing him suffering is that they want the bigger fish, is Julian Assange, and him to plea bargain if there is this leak, because it's still alleged that he's the source of information. And he's going to, yeah, he's in a bad, very bad position, really, and he needs all the support he can get.
Yes, he is, yeah, because he's in, solitary confinement for 23 hours a day and all kinds of these things, and it's pre-trial punishment as well, so it's quite horrible. I mean, the U.S. is definitely, leads the field with the prison-industrial complex around the world. They've got the highest percentage of people in prison, so they know what they're doing when they incarcerate people,
yes,
definitely.
Yeah.
So it's quite awful. What kind of other work do you do sort of on a day-to-day basis in terms of stalls and outreach to people?
We had a stall up at the museum because running during, it would have been October, November, the Bristol Museum had an exhibition called Flight. And on the surface, it seemed quite innocuous, really. It was celebrating 100 years of aerospace and aircraft manufacturing in Bristol, which Bristol has a very proud tradition of that. Sadly, it's sponsored by BAE Systems, who the largest military, one of the military contractor in the world, and MBDA, who solely make missiles, and they have an establishment up in Filton as well, and they were sponsoring the exhibition, so we wanted to highlight that, really, and get especially parents to say, you know, to at least say to their children, you know, there is this side to aircraft manufacture, but there's another side that, you know, wars are being glorified, and that's been a very important part of our campaign, and that will be the whole essence of it, is the military contractors present themselves in a certain patriotic and a noble way, modern, glossy, high-tech industry, totally harmless, of course, and they don't want any link to be made with the suffering they cause, really, what's going on in Afghanistan, what's happened in Iraq, and what are wars around the world, really. So there's been stalls there. We did a die-in, and police chased us around the town for a few minutes before the museum decided not to charge us. What else have we been up to? The stalls will happen more. I'm keen on them because we can talk face to face with people,
mm-hmm.
and express our point of view, really, because lots of myths and things around military expenditure.
Indeed, it is. It's one of the, how do you say, it's one of the sacred things that government, when they cut everything else, it's one of the last things to go, usually. And we only have a couple more minutes left, so I was wondering if there's anything you'd like to add, or also how people can get in touch with you, or any upcoming events that you have, because I think you've been quite an active group so far.
We have, we've got quite, we're very welcoming, and we have a diversity of tactics, so, I mean, I'm not a fan of petitioning and lobbying MPs, because I don't think that gets very far, but we'd welcome people who would, because it all definitely has an effect. We've got this coming Saturday, next Saturday, 22nd of January, we're going to meet at the Bandstand in Castle Park, or up at the right at the top of Union Street at 1 p.m, and we're going to do a rolling picket of the High Street banks. What this is all about is raising awareness that War on Want produced a report called Banking on Bloodshed, which was did quite well and found a lot of reports that had been withheld or hidden by the banking industry about how they fund the arms companies, really. So that's what it is. So we want to just raise the awareness of that. And it's all the main high street banks do it. The Cooperative Bank is the only one who doesn't, because they traditionally had an ethical policy, and they've always quite clearly stated they weren't going to invest in arms companies, anything to do with that. So that's next Saturday, meet at 1 p.m, Bandstand, Castle Park. In the evening, we're using a new venue. It's the Den at the Corn Street, which I've been told is a sort of ordinary venue. It's not, we've got Clayton Blizzard, Joe Tilston, and Mike Scott who are touring the country at the moment, and I think they're sort of punk folk artists, really. They've been in bands that are well known themselves. We've got our regular hip hop man, Rat Face, as well.
Great. Well, that sounds like a lot of...
So that's at the Den next... but come along early, 8 p.m, the Den, Corn Street.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for your time. So that's Bristol Against the Arms Trade. So we're going to go quickly now to a track by Fab on his album La Rage de Dire.
1-1-2-2-1. La réalité. 1-1. Ouais, ouais. On n'a pas toute la nuit,
non.
Pour se placer, on n'a pas toute la vie,
non.
T'as l'impression qu'il facilite nos vies,
non.
C'est une raison pour qu'on reste endormi,
non.
On va se laisser bouffer par l'ennui,
non.
On perd du temps avec leur fantaisie,
non.
Et c'est du bon tout ce qu'ils se sont permis,
non.
Est-ce qu'ils nous ont demandé notre avis,
non.
À partir de là, est-ce qu'on les suit,
non.
Les fautes commises, est-ce qu'on les essuie,
non.
La terre promise, est-ce que c'est ici,
non.
Alors politique et tout ce qui s'ensuit,
non.
Pas la pour faire de la démagogie,
non.
Est-ce que t'as l'impression qu'on réagit,
non.
Faut qu'on reste éclairé à la bougie,
non.
Est-ce que dans nos quartiers ça s'agit,
non.
Est-ce que tu crois que c'est au pouvoir qu'on nuit,
non.
Quand un frère meurt dans nos rues la nuit,
non.
Quand nos mères pleurent, les fachos sourient,
non.
Parce qu'on veut plus que ça continue ainsi,
non. Question.
T'as l'impression que le combat est fini,
non.
Qu'on peut patienter jusqu'à l'infini,
non.
Qu'on peut gagner sans risquer sa vie,
non.
Savoir sans avoir été averti,
non.
Être innocent quand on a tout compris,
non.
Et qu'on se tait devant leur saloperie,
non.
Et qu'on me dise pas vu, pas pris,
non.
Car j'y crois pas, c'est pas ce que j'ai appris,
non.
On va baisser la tête face au mépris,
non.
S'ils disent que la vérité a un prix,
non.
On déduira qu'ils sont pas sains d'esprit,
non.
N'y croyez pas quand ils disent qu'on détruit,
non.
Pour notre avenir, est-ce qu'ils ont construit,
non.
Est-ce qu'ils ont l'avantage quand on s'instruit,
non.
Faut arrêter les cours tant qu'on est petit,
non.
C'est en mangeant qu'on a pris de l'appétit,
non.
Alors égard, j'éprouve de la sympathie,
non.
30 ans en France, puis ils t'expatrient,
non.
C'est l'immigré qui tue l'économie,
non.
Ils s'intégraient, eux, dans leur colonie,
non.
On croit que le tiers-monde a une dette ici,
non.
On a choisi d'habiter en Tessie,
non.
Lorsque t'on fait voir qu'ils nous apprécient,
non.
Intégration alors que t'es né ici,
non.
Est-ce qu'on a abusé dans ce qu'on a dit?
Non.
Est-ce que des gens propres ont été salis?
Non.
Les innocents souillés par maladie? C'était pour nous construire un paradis?
Non.
Est-ce que
non.
Les vrais criminels sont punis?
Non.
Est-ce qu'on peut les prendre en flagrant délit?
Non.
Les écarts de conduite nous sont permis?
Non.
L'immunité, on en profite aussi?
Non.
L'argent public, on s'en est servi?
Non.
Est-ce qu'à la République, on dit merci?
Non.
Enthousiasmé par ce qui se passe ici?
Non.
Même ambiancé, t'oublies pas tes soucis?
Non.
Est-ce que tu crois que ça s'arrête ici?
Non.
À après ça, ils voudraient qu'on reste assis. Non. Leurs discours sont de moins en moins précis. Non. Et notre champ d'action se rétrécit. C'est bleu, blanc, rouge qu'il y a sur notre pays. Non. Si on fait la guerre, c'est pas pour ce pays. Non. Ces anciens conflits nous ont servi. Non. Endommagés mais pas asservis. Non. Stupéfiant. On marche en scred, stupéfiant. Fab coma,
Fab coma.
Stupéfiant. Haroun Klesmon, stupéfiant. Sois pas stupéfait, la skate connect, c'est du bon son, on stocke. Plus vite sur le beat, avant que l'horloger sonne, on stocke. Sois pas stupéfait, la skate connect, c'est du bon son, on stocke. Plus vite sur le beat, avant que l'horloger sonne, on stocke. Sois pas stupéfait, la skate. Pas stu. Sois pas stu.
So this has been Radio Cavalli. We're always looking for volunteers, help, so check us out, tell your friends, drop us an email at radiocavalli@riseup.net if you want to give us a hand, no experience required.
Or you want to come on the show.
Yeah.
If you've got something to talk about, then yeah, give us an email.
Definitely. We're always open to it.
Cool.
So,
right. Thanks to all of our guests.
Yeah.
Thanks to Bristol Against the Arms Trade. Thanks to our Belarusian correspondent.
Indeed.
Thanks to our Greek correspondent.
Yes.
And thanks to the Bristol Anarchist Book Fair Collective.
Fantastic. And thanks for all our lovely, beautiful tech and
Indeed.
All our help here as well.
Thanks, techie.
Yeah. Thanks, nerd.
We're out of here. See you for Radio Cabelli number 11 a month from now.
Wicked. Bye.
Bye.